Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I am your host, Belinda Ellsworth, and I have a great guest for you today, Matt Walker. And Matt is the managing director and founder of Matt Walker Adventures. He has 20 plus years of international guiding experience and has a master's in organizational development. His mission is to help you reconnect with yourself and regain your focus and drive. It is my pleasure to welcome Matt to our show today.
Thanks for having me, Belinda. Looking forward to our conversation.
Oh, me too. So why don't we just start out and fill in some of the gaps from your bio and introduce yourself to our audience and tell us a little bit more about yourself and your journey.
Sure. I grew up where all great American mountain climbers are raised in northern New Jersey. And after I started doing some mountaineering and adventuring climbing there when I was in high school and kind of caught the bug in the Northeast and made my way out to the West Coast and have lived for the most part in Washington State ever since. And have focused my time and energy on mountain climbing, on guiding clients all over the world on all seven continents. And what I found through those experiences was there was a common thread, which was like clients were coming, looking for adventure, looking to feel present and really fully engaged in their lives. And were doing so on these big expeditions and experiences, but then that thread of continuity wasn't tying back into their personal and professional life. So I took some time off from that, got a master's degree in organizational development and behavioral science. And now the work I do connects those two fields together. So supports people using adventure literally in terms of being in the mountains and doing and going climbing and going on big adventures, but also metaphorically in reframing how they experience the world, how they move through their entrepreneurial work, how they show up in their most significant relationships, how they parent, how they're in community, and to see that through the lens of as an adventure, not solely what, you know, National Geographic or Outside Magazine or something may portray as adventure.
Wow, that sounds interesting. And obviously you've had some great success with that.
Yeah. So I, you know, I've been working now in this field for 20 plus years. You know, for me, it's always finding the balance between the physical aspects of being in nature and being in movement with the cognitive and emotional aspects. I find that I need to have both in my life. So I'm able to do that with keynote speaking, writing, coaching my clients in person on an adventure, and then also extending that coaching services over the phone and, you know, via Skype. So try and feed both sides of my brain, the side that needs to be in movement and in motion, as well as the cognitive piece as well.
So you still do the adventure tours the physically as well?
I do. Yeah. So I was giving an example. You know, last week I was the last couple of weeks I've been in and out of Las Vegas in the Red Rocks area in Joshua Tree National Park. So in those instances, I'm with clients one-on-one. We're rock climbing, we're going on hiking, canyoneering trips, and we're working through topics that are substantial for them and doing it in that environment. And these are clients that I also work with over the phone. Also going on big expeditions. So Kilimanjaro expeditions up to Alaska to climb up there, putting together an expedition in Indonesia for the end of the year, Nepal. So being able to do both, to take those clients out of their everyday as a tool for learning, but then give them the ability and experience to be able to take the learning back into their everyday lives. So
That's pretty awesome.
Definitely in both aspects. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's honestly, it's what I need too. And so it's, you know, it's the classic, classic teaching paradigm where the teacher's the student as well. So being able to bounce back and forth and be a father, raise my children, be a partner, and then also be out in the field, in nature.
Oh, that's great. So how has the business shaped your lifestyle today?
Oh my gosh. I can't distinguish between the two, honestly. I live in a small mountain town. So it's a town of about 5,000 people in Washington State. I choose my travel based on the areas that I want to engage in an adventure. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest challenge for me, honestly, is that I can't distinguish between the two at this stage, between my personal life and my professional life. It is so blended together that I have to really be, I have to work hard and be cognizant of when I'm clocked out of the business because it is so intertwined in who I am.
Well, I think that that's interesting. So some people that are listening to this might feel like, that's not a good thing necessarily. Right. But yet on the other side of it, when I look at it, I think that's such an awesome thing because it just shows that you really love what you do, which is kind of the whole premise of the show, working from your happy place. It's like when you really love what you do, it doesn't really feel like work. It's part of just who you are and what you do. And if you're really in the fact that you've been able to, you know, take that space of kind of getting out of an office and experiencing outdoors, which is supposed to be so healthy for you, being really physical, which is supposed to be mentally and physically healthy for you. You've really right. found a way to take all those things and combining it into one. And I can totally understand where you're coming from.
Yeah. I mean, just a moment ago, as I said that, I'm like, oh, that doesn't sound that healthy, but I think that's from the paradigm of not being happy in your work. Mm-hmm. Then it's definitely not healthy. And I wouldn't put myself in a category as being a workaholic, but my days can be really long if I'm out in the field. And the piece that I want to bring up is it's taken me a long time, but I've also been able to offload and say no to the things that make me incredibly unhappy. So anything to do with accounting and running my books, scheduling, those types of detailed work that stuff is really hard for me. I thrive when I'm in a creative space and when I'm working individually with my clients, but that other aspects, if I don't unload that and bring in a third party to help support that, then it can quickly become pretty unhappy work for me. So I think there's, you know, that's the learning there is like, what stuff can I unload that actually brings me more joy and happiness?
And I think that is such a great point. And what I see from people is that when they're first starting a business, you know, you have to wear a lot of the hats because mm-hmm. you don't have the funds and whatever. Except that I have found, even when I first started my business, I found someone to do things. Even when I was just in sales and I was the little mundane work, I had a 14, 15-year-old that came to my house a few days after school, you know, and during the week and did some of those little mundane tasks even that weren't necessarily that I couldn't do them or didn't want to do them. And then as time went on, I was very quick to find people to help me, even when I wasn't making that much money. And I gotta be honest, it allowed me to make money quicker doing the things I love because I had more time to really do what I love. And that's the biggest mistake that I see for people today is they think they have to do all those things for a very long time till they're making a ton of money before they hire another person to do that.
Right. There's so many services available to us now. So many. It's amazing how many services are available for business owners to be able to offload all of this stuff that can be easily automated. I mean, imagine trying to teaching yourself QuickBooks and you're a wedding photographer. Like, why would you do that?
Right.
What would be the point of spending all that time and energy into something that is not going to be helpful for you? So when you can offload it at, you know, just dollars per month versus trying to learn it, get frustrated, mm-hmm. learn those challenges, Just a little mantra that I go by is, what am I doing today that serves my goal? You know, am I doing the thing? And if the answer is the thing that I'm doing is not serving that, then that's something that can be offloaded.
Absolutely. That's a really good, that's a really good gauge. Absolutely. So tell me about a couple of your skill sets that you think have greatly attributed to your overall success.
I think I would say I'm not the most technically savvy, the most technically proficient mountain guide in the world. There are much better technical mountain guides. But what I do bring to the table is an acute ability to see patterns of human behavior. So, and to be able to distill that down and see how one pattern of human behavior shows up in different areas of someone's life. And then to be able to highlight that and hand it back to them in a way that gives them ownership to be able to shift the behavior. So I'll give an example. So we're out on a rock climb. It's a technical rock climb. It's a difficult rock climb for the client. And the client does this little stutter step the client is what I call shopping for holds. He's like touching every single hold that's in front of him, trying to find the perfect one, when all he would need to do is really literally just grab one and then move through to the next movement, to just kind of grab something and then take action. And so that would be, I could see that and then draw a correlation after the conversations we've had, is like, that's a pattern of behavior that shows up when there are too many choices in front of the person that leads them to paralysis.
Wow.
So you can highlight that and say, you know, what I just saw on this was the exact same way that you move through the world when you are trying to hire someone for your business. You interview all of these people, you know, and then you spend all this time doing it, and it ends up that you can't find the perfect solution, so you don't take any action at all. Where if you had just engaged, used what was in front of you, and then moved through it, then you would be in process to the next thing. And so I would say one of the superpowers is the ability to be able to transcribe that, to see patterns of behavior that show up in all areas of someone's like movement in the mountains, but also in their daily lives and their professional lives, and draw the correlation between those things, and then present it in a loving way for them to be able to address that.
Oh, that's great.
And so then, they go back and we're in a coaching call or something, and something similar comes up. I'm like, hey, remember the shopping for holds thing? It's showing up again. This is the exact same thing again. And so that's I think that would definitely be one of my superpowers. Another one would be belief in my clients. I think something I hear often is, how did you know I could do that? Or, you know, I didn't believe I could do that. Why did you believe I could do that? And I think that's through seeing what is what is human potential, and recognizing that we have a real tendency to downplay our ability to go big, and that we choose goals that are smaller because they feel safer. When in actuality, with a little bit of support and accountability, we can reach much, much bigger goals than we set out for ourselves.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So what is one of your most outstanding accomplishments or something that's super meaningful for you?
In totality, universally?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I would say it has nothing to do with being in the mountains itself. And instead it is, I've had a lot of professional success, on the surface that things that would be deemed successful. But for me, I think the biggest learning and the thing that has the most legs to it and the most meaning for me is, learning to be present during conflict or challenging moments. So not shutting down emotionally or physically during challenging moments and challenging times. And specifically how that shows up in relationships, with my partner or with my children, that during those challenging moments, I continue to stay present and not shut down. So that to me is like, if there's anything I've learned in the past, 20 years that has had the greatest impact, it would be that.
So tell us then about kind of opposite of that. I was just reading through here and you were in your answer, you were talking about leading Kilimanjaro expeditions. And I was like, oh, he's going to talk about that. So I was kind of excited for you to talk about that.
I can talk about that sort of stuff. But, you know, it's those things are vehicles for the rest of this learning.
Sure.
They truly are. So, you know, one of the, like, I'll talk, you know, I can share one of the things I love about Kilimanjaro, is the opportunity to pull people out of their everyday experiences and put them in a physically challenging environment and also a culturally enlightening environment. So one of the beautiful things about climbing Kilimanjaro is that it's not super technically challenging, which leaves the participant to be able to engage with each other and with the team as a whole in a really rich way. It's really powerful how people come back from that trip, seeing the world through a different lens and realizing that they're much, much more capable than they believed they were previously. So I usually do three trips a year to Kilimanjaro, three, maybe four. Those are, split. Some of them are just men's groups, where I just take men out in a group of 10 to 12. And then some of those are mixed gender. So it's male and female. And I like them both for totally different reasons. The men's one I think is amazing because it brings people, brings a group of men together and in a way that they're not accustomed to. And forces them, you know, like they drop the bravado and forces them to go deeper and be in support of each other and ask for support. And then the mixed gender one is similar in that experience, but it also often will bring partners together to be able to shift and kind of shake up their normal way of being together. And you're doing it, you know, in Africa, you're doing it on this beautiful big mountain, and interacting and climbing with local Tanzanians. So it's a beautiful, beautiful experience. Plus, you get to unplug for 8 days in a row, and that in itself is a huge rarity for people. So there's a lot of learning from just being in a digital detox for 8 days.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So tell us about then a challenge that you faced and then how you worked through that.
I think the biggest challenges that I have faced have been in the marketplace with factors that have nothing to do with my business necessarily, but that greatly impact it. So, you know, 2008 recession was a huge challenge. Just market factors that shift and change how people spend their money and what people deem as, you know, worthy of spending their time and money. I would say the one shift that's occurred that I've seen in the past couple of years that's been more challenging is people's dependency on communication and the expectations that others have on them. So a challenge is, you know, putting is kind of convincing people that unplugging for a few days is highly, highly beneficial for their personal health and well-being. When they have kind of trained their businesses, trained themselves, and trained their loved ones that they're in contact and reachable at all times, when being in the mountains is that's not possible. So, yeah, I'd say external factors for me is a big challenge, and then just how you know, whether I'm going to respond to them quickly or whether I fight it. Those have been some of the bigger market challenges for me.
Okay.
And scalability. I would say scalability has been a huge challenge for me in running my business because I have worked on scaling my business a couple of times and gotten direct feedback that clients want to work increasingly just, you know, one-on-one with me. And I obviously you can't replicate yourself, so which flies in the face of common scaling solutions. So, So I would say it's less the business, less the solutions, and more the business responding to the business marketplace and the scalability piece.
Okay.
Yeah. which I'm sure all solopreneurs can relate to. You know, how do you scale yourself when you only have one person?
It is very difficult. And so I think that, and then that's another hole. If you're not really technically savvy, the ways to do that a lot of times involve being technically savvy and trying to figure out some ways to incorporate more people into something. And then that becomes then the struggle that is sort of that piece you're talking about that's kind of out of your reach, right? Maybe you're not as comfortable with. And so it does end up becoming the challenge. Like I have an idea of how I want to do this, but actually learning how to physically do that and then to be able to scale it up and make it still be, I even deal with that myself. Like people, I had a company reach out to me and said, you just get the coaching clients and then like you scale it all into one big thing where everybody's together. And then the individual coaching is outsourced and we do that for you. And I'm thinking to myself, you don't even know what I do or what I think or how I am. Right. How do you think you're going to really coach my clients to be right. what I believe they could be or what they believe they could be if you don't even know what I think or believe? Or and they kept kind of telling me that I was thinking kind of too old fashioned or not big enough. And I'm thinking to myself, so to me, my struggle was, well, I would be a fraud in that because and I would never want to be a fraud to my clients or have my clients think they were getting one thing through a package of what we deliver and not really getting what they think they're getting. So for me, that's the struggle there is learning how to do that and do it with integrity and do it in a way that you are still present. To me, that's the challenge for a person who's really cares about their work and is really taking a lot of time to, that's what you sound like to me, is someone
it's like high value, high touch.
Yes.
Which is really hard to,
scale.
To scale. And then, you know, even if you do like a train the trainer sort of program and you get people on board with your signature style, it's still not replicated. And so then it's a challenge of, well, how do you want to influence and, where are you willing to release some control? I think the big question is, do you even need to?
Exactly.
So what's the belief system that drives that you need to do that? So it's great learning, and those are some of the biggest challenges in running the business.
Absolutely. So what's working from your happy place mean to you?
I think I've always, for working from my happy place is, this would be a good week for it. So last week I was working individually with clients, on rock climbing. So each day we were out climbing. So I really did not respond to emails. I didn't take care of any other projects. And then this week is recording podcasts, working on an online course that I'm developing, connecting with people that I haven't seen in a while, either over the phone or coffee. So there's more of a social aspect to it. So the happy place is being able to bounce back and forth, not try and do it all at the same time, but to just kind of carve out these periods of time for myself. And I've just found for myself that, I need to unplug from the world in order to stay engaged. Like if I can get overwhelmed pretty easily, socially. And so if I kind of put it in these blocks of time, that is like fuel for myself. So the fuel comes, like last week, the fuel came from being in the mountains, being outside, rock climbing, working individually with clients. But if I did that every day, I'd be really tired.
Sure.
But then this week, I'm taking care of office stuff and I'm connecting with other people. And if I did this every day, I'd really want to be in the mountains. So it's, finding that balance of compartmentalizing, but then putting energy into both. I would also say that staying in the happy place is also having some specific routines. and not getting kind of blown by the wind each day. And so one routine that I have, this sounds incredibly basic, but that is actually really grounding, is regardless of where I am, if I'm in a hotel room, if I'm in my bedroom, wherever it is, I'm traveling, I go to bed with a pint of water on my bedside table. And the first thing I do when I wake up is I sit up, I put my feet on the floor, and I drink the entire glass of water, period. And so that actually, I know it sounds, it sounds like, might sound odd, or it might sound really basic, but that little tiny routine helps me get back into my body. So I'm not just like immediately launching into my head and problem solving from the moment I open my eyes and wake up.
I think that's great. Plus, I know that that's highly recommended, is having water first thing in the morning before you have anything else. And sometimes I do it and sometimes I don't. And I was sitting there thinking to myself, I might be more inclined to do that, because I'll walk downstairs and grab my glass of water, grab a lemon, put the lemon in the water and drink that. And I just kind of sit there. Then I might get my coffee and then start looking through my emails or doing whatever. And it's funny because it's a hit or miss for me. It depends on if like somebody's ringing the doorbell and you got to run downstairs and you're like, what's this delivery person doing here this early or whatever?
And how are you going to get disrupted by it? Yeah,
exactly. And so I'm sitting here thinking, even for myself and being more successful with trying to achieve that goal, is like, it sounds really simple, but it's like, so you put it right by your bedside and it's the first thing you do when you wake up. But you can do that anywhere, and then that makes that feel really good. It's funny because I totally get what you're saying. And so I teach this a lot with my clients, and when they're scheduling things, it's like, I call it weave dating, and so or scheduling. And so it's like, if you know, okay, this week, next week, so you're sitting in your office and maybe you're not loving sitting in your office or whatever. And you're just thinking, okay, I'm working this week. I'm going to get this done because next week I'm out on the mountain and I cannot wait. And then when you're out on that mountain and maybe you're getting tired and you're thinking about a couple of the things you need to do, you're like, okay, next week is going to be my week to catch up. And I think you always, in your mind, by doing that, you look forward to both. There's this, it's basically what you said. And then there's just this great sense of, oh, this is my week where I get to do this. And it is compartmentalizing. And I would say to you that in the coaching that I've done, very few people do that successfully.
Well, I think part of that is that people try really hard to make complex routines. And it's just a matter of like, just strip it down some really basic stuff. A glass of water is super simple. I don't have to have like a 6-step morning routine. If I do that, there's no way I'm going to be successful at it.
Right.
All this is a glass of water, grounds me, puts me back in my body. Doesn't matter if I'm waking up in some random hotel room in Las Vegas or, I'm in the peaceful space of my own home. But it's still me in each situation. And then the other aspect I think of that is like if you don't have things on your calendar to fill in, if you're doing time blocking, then you can still come back to, okay, this is my time to be creative. For the next 3 hours, I'm going to do this creative work. Then the 2 hours after that, I'm only going to do admin work. I'm not even going to touch the creative work. And if a creative thought comes in, I'll, write it down on a pad of paper, but I'm staying in that zone just to give ourselves the ability to focus. I mean, our brains are just like scattered 1,000 times, just like being pinged by our phones, and it's so easy to be distracted. But a couple of those little routines, and it really shifts how we can be present with our work.
Right. So what advice would you give to others who are wanting to be entrepreneurs?
I would say go simple. Simplify. Make it super simple. What's the problem? What's the solution that you're offering? And then every time you encounter either an offer that you want to engage in, a solution, whatever it is, you run it through this little filter. Is like, is this thing in service to the solution that I want to provide? And if it is, do it. And if it's not, don't. I mean, I have a client right now that I'm working with he created a whiteboard, and I had him create a literal like drawing of a filter, like a funnel filter. And on the top of it is all the different ideas and possibilities and then solutions. And then the bottoms are just a couple of things that have filtered through. So my feedback, it would be literally like make it as simple and streamlined as possible so that you can actually engage your talent as opposed to getting distracted by all the noise of tools and you know, ways of operating your business that can get in the way of actually executing your business. Like a photographer, I'm going to go back to the photography thing. A photographer should be out engaging with clients and taking pictures.
Right.
That's their art or their editing. It's not, you know, marketing. So, or bookkeeping or whatever it is. So, you know, make sure that all as much of the action that you're doing in the day is in service to creating the art.
Very good. So what are some new and exciting things that you're working on that our listeners could benefit from?
Yeah. So I've got an online course that I am launching at the end of the month, right around April 1st. So I'm super excited about that. So I'll send you a link for that that listeners can go to and check out. But one thing that I really enjoy doing is setting up an accountability experience. So what this is a 10-day accountability project where individuals, all they do is look at their calendar and figure out if their values are in alignment with their action. So look at all the different ways they spend their time and they execute on their calendar. Are those things in alignment with their personal values? And if they're not, which for most of us, the case is that they're not, we just make a small shift. So I'll just throw out an example. Let's say generosity is a value that you that's important to you. And you look through your calendar, you think about how you spend your day and time, and you realize like I'm actually not that generous with my time or energy. And so the challenge is, what can I do over the next 10 days to bring generosity forward in all aspects of my life, in my professional world, in my community, in my most significant relationship? How can I bring that generosity forward? And so this accountability exercise is that I have people email me. These are people, you know, I have no idea who you are, what your story is, anything about you, zero judgment. And people email me what the value is and what action they're going to take over the next 10 days to bring that value forward. And then at the end of the 10 days, I will email them back directly and check in to see how that's going. And sometimes people nail it, and then sometimes people don't really do anything with it, and we start the 10-day cycle over again. But it's a way of people being accountable to bringing their values and actions forward. And for me, that's really what adventure is. Adventure is this, you know, like being fully present in the moment and responsive, and bringing our values and actions in alignment. So, I'll send you the link and you can put it in the show notes. It's just a easy little, online form that people can fill out. And again, I have no judgment as to what the value is or what the action is. I'm simply a tool of accountability to make that happen.
Perfect. Now, Matt, where can people find you?
MattWalkerAdventure.com. So super simple, MattWalkerAdventure.com. And if you got questions, email is Matt@MattWalkerAdventure. And I respond to each email individually and personally.
Well, that is perfect. Well, Matt, it has been such a great delight having you on the show. You have given so many wonderful insights. And one of the things I love about this show so much is just hearing about all the interesting things that people do to earn a living and to love what they do. And it is really, I sometimes sit and think, I love doing this show just because of how much it inspires me when I leave and I'm just ready to go into my day and do something really incredible because it's just fun. I just absolutely love listening to all the different ways that people have taken their passions and their talents and have carved that into something really special for themselves to be able to work and live in a way that sort of coexists together. So
amazingly diverse way that we live on the planet and create art. It's pretty amazing.
It is.
Yeah,
it is. So thank you. And for any of you listening, I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. I always encourage people to go back and listen to it a second time because you really pull out those gold nuggets that you might be able to use to really apply to your life. And we really appreciate it if you could leave us a review. So that's not something that I have requested a lot in the past. And that's something I'm learning that is important to have. So if you like what you heard today, we hope you'll leave us a review. And with that, Matt, thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.